obeying the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's begin in verse 21 through verse 25. 1 Peter 1 and in verse 21. Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's pray. Father, we do come to thank you and praise you as we assemble together for your faithfulness, Lord, and your goodness. God, we come to worship and praise and to acknowledge thee. Lord, is the one who has blessed us and given us all good things. Father, we come to praise you and give you thanks and rejoice. Father, we come to consider now, Lord, not only the material blessings of life, but Father, even greater, the spiritual things we have in Christ. God, I pray today that the light of truth might shine upon us and drive out the darkness and expose the power of deception that does work against us. And Father, may we have eyes to see and ears to hear this day as, Lord, we behold the promises of God, as we look to the great truth. Father, may it penetrate the depths of our soul today. Father, may it drive out from us all, Lord, of the lies and deceptions that have come through the world and through the flesh. Lord, we do pray for that one that's near as hell today. We pray for their precious salvation. We pray for every child of God that we might receive, Lord, from your word today, that you might help us and strengthen us and, Father, correct us and encourage us according to the need today. And we'll thank you and praise you, Jesus' precious name. Amen. We find that it is the pattern repeated throughout the epistles as the Holy Ghost being the author, using men like Peter and men like Paul. And often, as the order was, doctrine was given. That is, that we are given great truths about who God is and what He has done. And then after that follows our response. We have doctrine, then we have duty. We have the position and promises of God, and then we're to have the practice that follows. We have truth that is revealed, and then truth should be realized in our life. And once again, we find that same order here in this first epistle of Peter, where he lays some solid foundation for Bible doctrine. And then he appeals to those who profess to believe the Word of God that we might have a practice that would follow this belief. If you notice with me, I want to give you a simple message here using three particular words. The first word will be believing. The second word is seeing. The third word is being. Let's notice, first of all, believing in verse 21. The Bible says, who by Him, that is Jesus Christ, do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead. God has and is and will reveal Himself to man. God began revealing Himself, as I preached back in the conference in Wilson, that God started revealing Himself with I am. And then He left it blank and began to fill it in. We find here that the foundation of our faith in God is not fulfilled until we come to Christ. We know the devils believe in God. And Jesus said, when He offered the great words of comfort in John 14, we began talking about heaven, He said, you believe in God, believe also in Me. That is, as God begins to reveal Himself, we begin to learn more and more, and we put our faith and trust in God, believing in Him. I believe, in Genesis 1:1, that God is the Creator. Amen? Because the Word says so, it's confirmed in my conscience by that which is revealed by God such that it's clearly seen. I believe that God is great. I believe that He's all-powerful. I believe that He's all-wise. All that's revealed to me in Scripture. I can see glimpses of God's great mercy. And I begin to learn that God is merciful. As the unfolding revelation comes, I learn and see evidence of God's love. And I see His grace extended. But that continues to reveal itself. And then as I come to the New Testament, we have God sending forth His own Son in the likeness of flesh. We have the mystery of God as God manifest in human flesh. He became one of us, and there He is, and we can see God in relationship to human life, for He has come, and Jesus Christ came, and He lived in a human body, and lived and walked in the same course of life, and we began to see Him, and as John 1 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. In other words, we saw God close up firsthand as He lived out His life as a man. And there He was, Jesus Christ. We heard the mighty words. We saw the great compassion, His mercy. And we saw Him and heard things, listen, that we'll never get over. I will never get over Jesus upon the cross when He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What kind of man is this that could pray that prayer in the midst of the torture and suffering that he endured and prayed for his crucified? And then to discover when he looked up, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And realizing in the Scripture, I listened that He became sin for us who knew no sin. That He was dying for me. He was dying for sinners. And so, listen, we began, to understand the great revelation of who God is and what He has done and what He is willing to do. And it's through Jesus Christ that we have been given the foundation of our faith. We have come because of Him. And the Bible says, who by Him do believe in God. Listen, a man does not fully comprehend, nor does he fully believe in God until he comes to the place where he puts his faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. You see, for that's the great revelation. Jesus Christ said, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father in John 14, 9. The Bible said, no man has seen God any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared Him. That is, that we didn't know fully what to believe until Christ came. I believe that He was Creator. I believe, that He's the sovereign God, ruler of all things. But I have discovered that God not only is the Creator, but He is my Redeemer, and He is my Savior. And so I've learned all that through the coming of Jesus Christ and the great works of redemption. And so, listen, no wonder Jesus said before He could comfort you, you believe in God, believe also in me. For He goes on not only to reveal the Father's great plan and provision in the Father's house, many mansions, but He goes on to say, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. And so the Bible here lays down the foundation of Bible doctrine. That is not enough. That salvation is not simply believing God is a creator. That simply the intellectual belief that there is a God is not salvation. That if a man wants to know God and know Him, listen, it is only through Christ that we come to know Him, that we have a personal relationship. Thank God I know more than just knowing about Him. Thank God I know Him in my own life and have fellowship with Him and know that He loves me and that He cares for me and that He has saved me and that He is faithful to me and that He's my personal Heavenly Father. That comes through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so the Bible lays down the foundation. There are many who believe in God, many who believe in God the Father, but reject the Son. And 1 John tells us that if we don't have the Son, we don't have the Father. And so a Bible doctrine here of what believing is. And that is not simply an intellectual belief, but it is the belief in God's Son whom He has sent. to be the Savior of the world and to be our personal Savior. And so the Lord Jesus came to reveal the fullness of the glory of God. The great truth of God's love and God's holiness evidenced at the cross. The Lord Jesus came to reveal the glory of God's person, but also the glory of God's plan and purpose when He came to die. The Bible said in Luke 22:42, saying, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." Jesus came to reveal that God listened, came to save the world, and He sent me to be that Savior so that men could be saved and men could be redeemed. And we see it at the cross of Calvary, for we see the love of God and we see the holiness of God in offering salvation's plan to redeem men who are lost. Then we see the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible said, look what He says, "Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory." Gave Him glory. You know what the Bible shows us here? That God took Jesus Christ, the man, and listen, brought Him from death and glorified Him. Do you realize that what we witness and what we see in Jesus is a man after He died? A man, listen, alive after the grave, and a man who was changed and glorified. You see, the Bible says that He took this man, Jesus, and you and I put our faith and our hope in Him. Why? Because we have witnessed and seen through the faithful record and testimony of God's Son and His blood, listen, written witnesses in all the early church and the apostles, that they saw a man who died and He's still alive. And not only that, He's been changed. And that change is glorious. For He has been given liberty beyond this mortal life. But He stands before us in immortality. That He is alive forever. You know what that meant? His dependency upon things to make Him live, He no longer needed. He is immortal. I don't think you grasp this morning what kind of glory that is. Do you stop and consider our fight and struggle just to maintain some kind of a quality of life? How much of our work and labor and thought processes and concern goes into making sure we have food on the table, clothes on our back, and welcome to the joys of home ownership, repair after repair after repair? Stephen, who's out back today, was rejoicing in home ownership yesterday. Finally got a part and fixed the stove. Plugged it in, it came on, lo and behold. Went over, the well pump died, had no water. He's thinking, aren't you supposed to get a little break in time? Shouldn't there be a little bit of span before things tear up? I am no plumber. But he said, "Dad, I think you and I can fix it." He's got a lot more faith in his dad than I do, but anyway. Do you know how much of our time is invested in really maintaining a life? I'm going to the doctor this week. Who else is going? Jimmy, you're going. Look at the hands. Do you send me hands going to the doctor this week? You think I'm going there because I want to? I'm trying to my best to stay away from pain, try to stay alive. I'm ready to go, but it'd be wrong. Paul said it'd be wrong for me just to want to end my life. That's tempting God. It's in His hand. And so I'm going to do my best, do what God wants me to do. Do Do you realize God put a man before you that needs nothing to live? He don't care if it rains, don't rain. Don't matter, listen, whether there's a harvest, whether there's not a harvest. Don't matter whether the oxygen level is where it should be or if the air is polluted. Don't need to draw a breath. Don't need anything. God set a man before you glorified. He's incorruptible. Listen, he's not affected by his surroundings. He has life contained within him. He is no longer dependent. And God set a man before you that he raised from the dead and is glorified and calls you to have faith in him. He said, who by him believe in God? And he raised him up to show you of what the future awaits for those who trust him, believe in him, and called upon him as Savior. This is yours, and it's what God will give you. Can you imagine waking up with a new life and you can't think of a thing to worry about? You can sit down at the streets of gold and for a week I hadn't thought of a thing I could worry about. There ain't nothing to worry about. What kind of freedom is there in this life? And so he said, listen, believing and notice that your faith and hope might be in God. There's nobody else can do this. Man will never find it. Not going to be found in science, technology, listen, in health sciences and all of his research. He's never going to find this kind of liberty of life. Listen, your faith and hope needs to be placed in God. He's the only one who can do it, and he showed you he could do it with his own son when he came down to you and showed you what the life of God is and how he raised a man up who had committed no sin and glorified him. And now there's a man in glory. Yes, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Listen, God wants us to know that even though he's the Son of God in all of his glory, though he's preexistent, though he's eternal, listen, he has now and forever identified himself as a man who is in heaven, who is incorruptible, who is glorious. And that's what he offers to those who will believe in him. And so he said, listen, believing, believing. Then notice number two, see, verse 22. Peter writes by the Holy Ghost, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Peter now comes to what is evidence, what is the witness of believing. A man puts his faith and hope in God, and now Peter says, seeing. He's talking about seeing the evidence of a person's faith in God. Peter said, we as people, though we don't know a man's heart, we can see the evidence of what faith has done in his life. And notice how he phrases this. He says, seeing, the witness and evidence of truth received by faith. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Peter said, we have seen now the effects of truth in your life. And what are the effects of truth? He puts it this way, having purified your soul. Truth, in other words, is a great cleansing power. Truth has power to purify and disinfect our lives. You see, you and I understand something basic and simple, that all transgression, iniquity, sin, it's based upon a lie. Are you following me? All sin and transgression is based upon a lie. Go back to where it started. Where did it start? Adam and Eve, garden. What happened? They believed the lie that there would be gain and benefit in transgression. And what did the devil say? You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know what that meant? Appeal to them? Rather than having submissive and surrendering everything he says, listen, you won't need him. You'll be gods, knowing good and evil. And so Peter says, listen, here is the evidence of a man's faith in Christ. That is, it will be seen that truth is purifying his life because truth is exposing the sin, exposing the deception, exposing the lie. Sin is a lie, and here's what it lies about. It lies that a transgression, that iniquity, that a sin will bring advantage or gain in your life. That's the darkness and the deception of sin. The temptation of sin is basically this. That it'd be better for you to do this and not do it. That's the lie. That's the lie. That's what truth exposes. You and I understand something very sobering about sin, what God says. It is according to God's great sovereign and providential law that sin will always in the end cost you far more than you gain. That's written by God. You know what's sobering about that? Sin always brings a cost to some degree. I guess we'd all be horrified to know if I'm paying some of the cost. Sometimes I don't think we realize maybe we are. But that's written by God. Listen, it'll cost you more than you gain. Whatever advantage, in the end, it will be a greater cost. Please understand this. This is also a very sobering truth. Forgiveness of God comes freely upon us asking through the blood of Christ. Thank God for that. But forgiveness is a forgetting of the sin, but not always a cancellation of a consequence. Young man and young woman who know better fell in the time of temptation, being in the wrong place, being in the wrong time, being in the flesh, decide to engage themselves in fornication. They come to the altar on Sunday and pour their heart out, ask God to forgive them. And God does forgive them. But she finds out a month later, she's pregnant. Did God forgive them? Of course He did. Did it eliminate all the consequences of their choices? Yeah. That's why God wrote, obedience is better than sacrifice. It's a great thing to be forgiven. It's a better thing not to have sinned. Amen? That's always first. And so we find here, seeing. Here's what truth does. Truth, listen, comes, and it is a great virus detector. How many have computers? Go ahead and raise your hand. Much as you hate it, you got one. How many have installed the protective software? I've got some. It drives me crazy. It pops up 25 times a day. Your system is not totally safe. Well, I paid you the money. Why ain't it safe? I figured out the scheme. They want you to buy a more advanced package by worrying you slap to death every day. Virus detected. What do you want me to do with it? You're the expert. What, you know. Then I say, well, get rid of it. And then it says, this may hurt your programs. I thought you said it was a virus. This may hurt installed programs on your computer. Well, I depend on you to tell me that. Is it a virus or not a virus? It's going to hurt or not going to hurt? Tell me one way or another. I don't know. And they want me to examine it. I was paying you for that. Then I hit quarantine and said, couldn't quarantine all of it. Thanks a lot for that. The bug running loose, I paid y'all to put it out, and now it's still running loose. Drive you crazy. Truth is a virus detector. It exposes in our heart, soul, and wrong when there is something believed that is a lie. That is deceptive. Oh, listen, this is far closer to home than you and I really want to get into this morning. Of how much we do, and we do it, when we do it, why we do it, is actually based on a deception, not on the truth. And so Peter says this, the evidence, listen, of this belief, this saving faith, is, it can be seen by the effects of truth. What it does is, listen, it exposes a lie. You realize that it's not right. You realize that it will not be an advantage. It will not be a gain. And so therefore, you obey the truth. It is one thing to know the truth. It's another thing to obey it. Most of the time, 95% of the time, when I got in trouble as a kid, I knew I was doing the wrong thing. But anyhow, did it anyway. Very few times that I honestly could I say I didn't know any better. Most time I did. Most time we know better. But he said, listen, seeing in the fact that you've obeyed the truth. The light was there, you exposed it. And listen, we obey. Whoever we obey becomes our master. Romans 6, 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You see, how you and I understand the truth comes from the Word of God. It exposes us what the lie is. And then we are to obey the truth. I am not to give in the temptation that by doing wrong and making wrong choices that it really will be an advantage and a gain. God said, no, it will not be. And so I have to obey the truth. I have to obey the truth, not just know it. Then I'll give you the third word. Third word, verse 23. Being. Being what? Being born again. Notice how he puts this. How, listen, who believe in God. Your faith and hope stands in Him. What do? We see. We see the power of truth working your life, being born again. That is, if you're not born again, then we won't see the cleansing power of truth in your life. And your faith is not genuine. You see, because true saving faith that brings about a purity in a man's life by the truth is because something took place. What took place is upon our saving faith in Christ, we were born again. That is, that God did a great work of salvation in our lives with His creative power of new life. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. This birth is not of man's doing. The Bible says we are born from above. The Bible said we are born of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The flesh can do nothing more than give birth to the flesh. That's all it's ever going to do. It requires for you to be a spiritual person. It has to be born in you by God. And we are born from above, born by God. And in 1 Peter 1, 3, he said, listen, that we are begotten of God. The Bible says you must be born again. 2 Peter 1, 4, we are partakers of a divine nature. God had to do the work of salvation. God had to give us a new divine nature. God imparted Himself within us, Christ in us, and we are born again. And the law of kindness has been established. That is, we've received the nature of our parents. That is revealed in likeness. If you and I are born from above, born of God, it will be manifest that we have a change of nature and that we will grow in exceeding likeness of our Father who is our holy God. The incorruptible seed, the possession of eternal life, in contrast with the corruptible seed of the world. You and I see the glory of man. What happens? It fadeth away. It's gone. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. You see, the glory of man, that which the earthly man pursues, you know why it fades away? Because it was all based on a deception. It was based on a lie. He sought for gain, sought for life, sought for glory, salt, salt for fame, salt for contentment, salt for satisfaction. He salt for life, but it all faded away. Like the man crawling through the desert and sees an oasis, he begins his march toward the refreshment only to find nothing but dry sand. But you and I who put our faith in God, and listen, we come to that incorruptible seed, that which liveth and abide forever. Notice, I'll give you just a little smidgen of the practical aspect of it. What they witnessed that Peter is calling back to attention was the Mount of Transfiguration first and the resurrection second. When they were with Him on the holy mountain, Jesus all of a sudden was changed in their presence. He was glorified, glistening, whiter than white could be washed by the finest cleaner. He stood there in that intensity of white. And there you remember Moses and Elijah came there and the cloud overshadowed them. They heard the voice, "This is my beloved Son." And they manifest Him glorified. And then we find the great resurrection. They witnessed Him again. One was a type, this one the reality of the glorified man. There He was before them. And there at that time, in the transfiguration, they were to tell no man. After the resurrection glory, they were to tell every man. They have been given a foretaste of glory divine and a man being glorified and not to tell it. And then after the great resurrection, and we see Jesus transformed and glorified. And then the Great Commission, go tell every man what you have seen and heard. And we find here the great transfiguration of Christ. What God did through Christ, now He's doing through His church. For as truth has been received, you know what it does? It is transforming your life. You and I are to go out into this world witnessing a transformation before men and calling them to the knowledge of the Savior. Let me give you this verse and we'll close. If you have your Bible still open, in chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Just as Jesus was transformed before them, the Lord takes His church and is transforming them and sending them out. And as they witness the glory of Jesus Christ, a man glorified, they are to witness sinners becoming the saints of God. And as He impacted them with what they saw, you and I are to impact this world with a message that we have been transformed by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, that we have been changed and are being changed into that very image because we have received Christ into our life. And we're simply showing forth the truth, the power of truth to penetrate the darkness. That ought to be evidenced in our life. Do we believe? If we have saving faith, Peter says, see. What do I see? I see truth purifying your life, driving out the lies and deceptions because you have been born again, a new creature. Therefore, God sends us out with that same transformation to impact the lives of others, that Jesus Christ is able to save your life and prepare you for glory.